certain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. Now that looks like Proverbs 30. And here in verse 17 and 19, he says there's a danger of riches. And he tells the danger of pursuing riches. And then at the same time, he's not against people who have riches. And he says, when you have riches and you're obedient in that, some people are conscientious, so because of their conscientiousness, they are blessed. And because of their faith, God bless them. And he just gives us three warnings. If you're blessed, watch out for three things. Number one, pride. Number two, self-dependence. You don't depend on God anymore. Your self-sufficiency makes you self-dependent. Number three, stinginess. Oh, you'll be surprised. Stingy people are not necessarily the poor people. I seem poor people, average people, more generous than rich people. Stinginess. When one becomes rich, and instead of using their wealth for good, the percentage that they give is actually less. And of course, God measures us by our percentage. Not by what you actually give. Because a rich man, a millionaire who gives only 100,000, gives less than the poor widow who gave 2 mites. And that was all she had. She gave 100%. He gave only a small percentage. So it's important for us to realize that there are all these warnings in the Bible that keeps us balanced. See, on the other side, there are verses that you have that say, you are the head and not the tail. And you're the seed of Abraham. And it is God's will to prosper you. On the other side, it has all these warnings. So the Bible is full of all these things. And the key to Christian living, practical Christian living, is to find a balance. Now, I only illustrate with wealth and poverty because they are easy to illustrate. It applies to all areas. Let me find a few examples very quickly of people in the Bible who need to find balance in their life. It could be emotional, it could be spiritual, it could be natural, all different things. Let's look at David. Now, David, in the Bible, in 1 Samuel, let's see David at the very beginning. 1 Samuel. And 1 Samuel chapter, let's look over here at 1 Samuel. When Saul was rejected in chapter 15, 1 Samuel chapter 15. Saul as a king became rich, powerful, and became lawless. And he began to do one wrong thing after the other, and God rejected him. And Samuel, in verse 28, says to Saul, 1 Samuel 15, verse 28, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you." And later you'll find the other phrases, before that, phrases like, God is going to seek out a man after his own heart, whom God is going to raise to replace Saul. And that's found in 1 Samuel 13 verse 14. "The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart." And just to emphasize, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, when Samuel was looking for Jesse's son to see which one the Lord chose, And at first he thought it was Eliab the eldest. God replied in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees us. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And that's David. He's a man after God's heart. Now David is an interesting man. He was a man of many emotions. You can find in the book of Psalms. David loved dearly. And he is someone who appreciates people. And David is not someone who is easily possibly cutting off people. As you can see, David, if you remember one time when his son was chasing him, and then when he got back his kingdom after his son died, he remembered the person who took care of them. And he said, come with me to the palace. And the gentleman, the rich gentleman say, I can't, but take my sons along. So David is someone who remember. You remember when David and Jonathan, they are very good buddies. Saul died, Jonathan died. And David, when he was king, says, is there anyone in Jonathan's family whom I can show my love for Jonathan? See, David was a man who loved people. And he is a very emotional bonding kind of guy. Which most musicians are. And so David is a musician and he's a worshipper of God. He really get touched by his emotions. But that was also his weakness. In the book of 2 Samuel, when his son usurped the kingdom, the story is found in 2 Samuel chapter 15. Absalom usurped the kingship. And David had no heart to fight with his own son. I mean, David could fight and actually win. But he didn't have any heart to fight with his son. In 2 Samuel 15, in verse 14, David said to all his servants who were with him at Jerusalem, arise, let us flee, or we shall not escape from Absalom. Make haste to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring disaster upon us, and strike the city with the edge of the sword. And all the king's servants and are loyal to him. The king's servants say in verse 15, we are your servants. You know, loyalty begets loyalty. If you're loyal to people, people are loyal to you. Respect begets respect. If you respect people, people will respect you. You reap what you sow. So if you want friends, you sow friendship. People will friend you. And so here, David, because he was a personable and a very loving person, all the people who know him, who have been with him, were loyal to the end. And these are good people. Remember, David has no more kingdom and yet they still want him. He just lost his kingdom. And they say, we are your servants. Sounds like one lady we know from the Bible, who was a great, 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 I think three times or two times, grandma of David. Where you go, I will go. Where you lead me, I will follow. Ruth, the Moabites. Moabites. And some of those impartation of rich David, he was a guy like that. And he produced people like that. And Ruth in the end followed Naomi to Israel and became one of the ancestors of David. And so David ran away across the other side. And David did not lead the fight, but his generals did. They fought against Absalom. And let's look forward to the story in chapter 18. 2 Samuel 18. Absalom was defeated. He was defeated. And he died in a very strange manner. Well, let's look at how he died. If we have just a few minutes more. Let's look at how he died. They were fighting in the woods. And remember Absalom, his hallmark was his long hair. His long hair got him into trouble. As he was running through the thick bush in verse 9, his hair got stuck. And he was killed by an arrow of Joab. And but do you know that during the whole battle that was going out, in verse 5, look at chapter 18, verse 5. Look at David's emotions again. The king had commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, these are his generals, saying, "Deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom." This rebellious, good-for-nothing son was after his life. He deserved death. Do you know what the Old Testament command is for rebellious sons? Stoning. And here David says, be gentle. Be gentle with him. And Joab, when he saw Absalom hanging on the tree, even all the soldiers were afraid to kill Absalom. Joab just took an arrow, shoot him, kill him. And look at David when the news got back to him. When all the people came back and they were victorious, look at David in verse 29. And here's where David is extreme on his weakness, and he needs balance. He needs balance. His emotions needs balance. Verse 29. Is the young man Absalom safe? He didn't even ask, are my generals safe? Are my soldiers safe? People who fought for him, who would die for him, he didn't ask, are they safe? He said, is Absalom safe? And everybody came back and they said, the news was that he died in verse 32. May the enemies of my Lord the King, all who rise against you to do harm, be like that young man. Then verse 33. The king was deeply moved, went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he says thus, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died in your place. Oh, Absalom, my son, Absalom, my son. And all the people who have fought for him, who gave their life for him at the risk of their own life, they were marching hallelujah, you know. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound. Oh, wrong song. Let's see, you know. Glory, glory, hallelujah. They come back. See the king crying. And instead of celebration, they all sneak back into their camp. Like a defeated army. You know, in that particular case, I think the king was wrong. Now, the king was not always like that. David was not always like that. Here he is, he's old. Old should be good, right? But be careful when you grow older that you don't develop tangents. Of course, young people, be careful too, because you got lots of tangents. All young people have tangents. It may take a decade or two to get rid of them. But if you're old and you're getting older, be careful of tangents. You know why? Because when you are old and you have tangents, it's very hard to remove them. Because they have been crystallized, cemented, and covered up so many times.